Welcome to another edition of a birthday special. This isn't something that's going to be done regularly. This morning I did one with Kilroy, and now I'm going to be doing one with Elmo3000. Say hello.
Hello.
Okay, so the topic we're going to be doing is E to M, the transition of the video game industry from E to M, as well as the consequences that have resulted from that. So, let's start all the way from the beginning. Back to 1985, the video game industry is 13 years old, we just came out of a massive crash, and a small little company called Nintendo decides to release the NES in North America. So, where do you think everything started? What do you think the original purpose of the NES was?
Well, obviously, just to bring video games back from the brink of extinction. Yeah. Because after the Atari 2600 and the ET landfill, then I think everyone sort of assumed, well, not assumed, but everyone had sort of, there was nothing new, and people had been getting tired.
All right.
That's it.
Yeah, so now on a different thing as well, what do you think the original target audience was of the video game industry?
I think, like nowadays, they were meant to sort of have games for everyone. It's just the problem was that, you know, if they had Grand Theft Auto on the NES, it would have probably still been rated E, just because they wouldn't have been able to make it adult. They wouldn't have been able to make adult content for it. Although there was that obscure game that it did in a video game vault, named something along the lines of Bubble Bath Babes.
That was...
I think that was
an illegal game.
Yeah. That's probably, like, the one NES game I'd say was not... Well, you know, the one that was adult.
What about Narc or Contra?
Contra. I wouldn't have really said Contra was adult, just because the graphics aren't good enough to make it violent enough to be adult. Because yes, there was like shooting people, but the graphics, like shooting people, was sort of the same sort of thing as, you know, Mario jumping on a Goomba, or one of the dinosaurs in Bubble Bobble jumping on something.
Yeah, so alright, so I think what do you think these games would originally have been intended for? Not necessarily for everybody, but if you had to choose a particular age group, what would it be?
I'd have to say about, you know, probably some would have, like, younger audiences, because obviously with games like Kirby's Adventure and Bubble Bobble, they're very upbeat. And even though they're upbeat, that means that they're actually available for everyone. Then, you know, nowadays, if something is, like, happy and upbeat, and colourful, it's usually seen as
gay.
For kids.
Gay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, is it possible that there were adult games? I mean, we know about the infamous Narc and how it was one of the earliest controversies in the gaming industry after, I think, Custer's Revenge?
Oh, yeah.
So, would you classify Narc as an adult game?
Probably.
All right.
That's all I've really got.
I know.
Probably,
all right. Yeah. So I guess we can probably also now transition to the transition period. Very convenient name. So
yeah.
The transition period deals with, I think, the late 80s, early to mid 90s. So if you had to pick an exact point in time where things began to transition, what would that be?
I'd say probably it began a little bit of the transition just with, like, advances in technology, like the Genesis and things, and obviously later much bigger with the SNES, just because games became more. Because on the NES, the games were fun, but, you know, you would very rarely get very deeply into a story on an NES game, or you'd very rarely get attached to the characters in an NES game, whereas as games got more complicated, then it just advanced everything, because if everything was more advanced, then games could, you could get attached to the characters easier, they could have better graphics and music and be more realistic, and obviously they could be more violent. So, yeah, obviously with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And those sorts of games, then, I'd say that was when they first sort of started making mainstream games like Mortal Kombat that were definitely not suitable for kids.
Yes. So I think we kind of covered two different things. We covered when things started to change and the change culprit. So now the question arises is, do you think this really caught on at first?
What do you think about this?
I don't know if it caught on right away. I'm sure that Mortal Kombat caught on. What I can say is that I guess Mortal Kombat caught on, just like how... For a personal example, on a different, on a similar note, when I first saw the AVGN, I wasn't turned on to Screw Attack, I was turned on to the AVGN. So there's obviously going to be something that triggers. It may not necessarily be the bigger picture, but it could just be that one individual thing that caught on. So I'm not sure it really caught on right away. We do see some examples of the progressions with games like Wolfenstein 3D and Doom, but I don't really think it caught on immediately.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think, yeah, with first-person shooters, then, like, at first, they were just sort of SNES first-person shooters. And, yeah, that definitely sort of advanced more violent games, just because, obviously, suddenly we had Doom and Wolfenstein. And,
yeah. All right.
It's because, you know, like in the final boss of like Bionic Commando on the NES, the final boss was Hitler, but nobody really paid any attention because it was the NES and it didn't really look that realistic and it was a stretch. Whereas then on the SNES, at the end of Wolfenstein, you'd fight Hitler, and suddenly people were interested.
I'm pretty sure the Super Nintendo version of Wolfenstein had robotic, whatever his name is.
Yeah, they changed him from Hitler.
I think Nintendo was taking the safe way out. I'm not sure they were all that comfortable with it. I don't blame them. It's kind of hard to take somebody like Hitler and put it in a game like that. It'd be kind of difficult to do.
That would definitely be one sort of large step.
All right, so I guess now we can move on to the intermediate phase, which would take place between the mid-90s to about the late 90s. So what do you think helped speed up this process from the transition of E to M?
I would say mainly graphics and such as mainly speeding it up, but I think it was just, like, as games became more mainstream, then obviously you got different kinds of games. I could be one person saying, I would really like to make a 3D Zelda game. There'd be another person saying, I'd quite like to make a game like Conker's Bad Fur Day. And then as that sort of went on, then they'd be going, oh, well, if they can make a game like Conker's Bad Fur Day, and for it, you know, to contain all of the things that does, then there could easily be a game with lots of violence that... Yeah, I think it's because, you know, at first, like, with Nintendo and the Hitler, then people were sort of worried because there were censors and they were wondering, you know, how much can we get away with? Whereas nowadays, with games like Manhunt and things, then you sort of think, oh, like, we can now just get away with anything. mm-hmm. just as long as we have the correct ratings on it.
Yeah. So would you say that 3D played a big part in this? I mean, we know that the easiest genre to work with in 3D is the first-person shooter, because you don't have to worry about all those ridiculous camera angles due to you being in first-person view. I actually think that first-person shooters excelled and did very well. However, with 3D came this more expansive area, expansive territory, and you couldn't just stick to the basic overhead view that Zelda was famous for. You couldn't stick to the basic 2D side-scrolling view that Mario was for. So would you think that 3D would have played a big part in that?
Well, probably, because it made the whole thing more interactive. Because, like, in like, an overhead Zelda game, if I was playing A Link to the Past and I killed an archer, then I wouldn't really be... Then I wouldn't be thinking, oh, I've just killed an archer. I'd be thinking, I've just killed a sprite and I've just got a couple of rupees for it.
Is that...
As in first-person mode, it's more realistic, since obviously life is first-person.
Is that why you... Yeah, is that why you don't like Kratos?
Yeah, Kratos is a... Kratos is a douche.
Of all the members of your family you had to get rid of, you couldn't get rid of Tickle Me Emo, could he?
No.
No. You're not going to strangle me or anything or tickle me to death?
Not now.
Okay. So then here comes the first thing that comes to mind about a resistance, and we're going to bring that up a lot. Do you think that it's possible that there were certain examples of video games that had maintained their original audience resisting to this change? Aside from Mario and Kirby and Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Do you think there would have?
I think there were a couple of series that... There must be a couple of series that have sort of kept their innocence. Like Kirby. Kirby is still sort of... I don't want to say kiddie, but Kirby is still a completely suitable for children thing. And Pokemon's one of them too. Pokemon and Kirby, they're some of those games where they're mostly... They didn't really change.
They've actually gotten more confusing as they've gotten on now. I used to be able to be Pokemon Yellow in about a day. I have Pokemon Diamond currently. I've had it for over 4 months. I still can't get past the 8th gym.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I have Pokemon Colosseum. That's very hard, near the end, and annoying, and not really.
The game was terrible.
Yeah.
Let's just say that Umbrella should keep its hands off of the Pokemon license.
Yeah. XD Gale of Darkness was okay.
Yeah, I actually liked that, but I didn't get to the last part.
I had some great music.
So did Pokemon Colosseum. There was that one city that had some, like, one of the best, what was the name of that water city? Where it had that really, really great music?
It might have been Agate Village or something.
The battle music where you're fighting the Pokemon was amazing.
Yeah.
Alright, well, we're kind of...
XD Gale of...
Yeah, we're kind of getting off topic, but I guess it's interesting that Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, Pokemon Colosseum, are very mature for the Pokemon license, but at the same time, I don't think it really... As I was saying, I think we're getting a little on topic, but I guess in a way, it's just that we see that there is a basic resistance, and I think that it's necessary because certain franchises like Pokemon, when it tried to become more adult-friendly, it didn't work out. So I guess that would mean that certain franchises just weren't made to become more adult-like. That being said, there are some franchises that are very adult-like that did work with kids. Like, for instance, Bionicle Matoran Adventures. I know I can't shut up about that game. It's rated E. It's very dark, but it's incredibly good. And I seriously think that the guy at IGN who reviewed it had something up his ass that day. Don't tell anybody, though. Don't tell him. All right, so I guess
Batman Begins, that was only a 12, and that was... fairly dark.
Yes, but it's interesting. I got that in a trade with a friend. I actually traded it for GoldenEye Rogue Agent, which was a big mistake because GoldenEye Rogue Agent is much better. And I beat it in a week. I haven't touched it since. It's been in my, it's been on my shelf for about 2 years now.
Wow.
Yes. All right. So I guess.
I saw some.
Yeah. Continue.
I'll just be quick. I saw a really stupid complaint about Batman Begins, because somebody was asked what was their least favorite movie game, and they said, "Oh, Batman Begins." And somebody had said, why? And they went, well, you go out the window, you go up, you fall down, you die. It sucks. That was his whole reasoning behind why the game was bad. You go up, you fall down, you die. Sucks.
It's very much trial and error.
I didn't get the hang of the spotlights at one point. Because at one point you're climbing up a building and there are spotlights. And if a spotlight hits you, the police shoot you.
It's very much it's very much trial and error. I actually screwed up several times, even on the easiest difficulty.
I screwed up a couple of times, but it was fun. Overall.
Yeah, it was fun for a while it lasted.
I like the setup. Like there'd be somebody there with a gun, and you'd like blow something up, and it wouldn't hurt them, but it would scare the crap out of them, and then they'd drop their gun.
Yeah.
And then you could fly down and beat them up.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we can go further on to the later period.
Yeah.
The later period is 1998 to about 2005, and that's like where the real transition like ended. So what do you think would have solidified the end result? If you had to pick one particular game or and one particular event, what would they be?
The game would probably be a Grand Theft Auto game. Just because, like, God of War is very violent, but apart from its violence, it doesn't really break any boundaries. So, well, it doesn't break any boundaries, sort of censorship-wise.
It had a complex story.
Just being a douche. But, yeah, Grand Theft Auto was, I think, the first one. I think that was the first one at which, like, parents actually started to make a fuss, and people actually, you know, it got their attention in the media. For being, oh, this game, it, you know, every other day on Fox News, it would be, this game celebrates murder, and this game gives you points for stealing cars and then using them to run over prostitutes.
The irony about that, what most people don't even know, is that Fox owns two different video game divisions. It has its own division, and it owns IGN, so people don't really understand that. I think that Fox, just on a side note, a little tangent, I think that Fox is at a point where they're kind of confused. On one hand, they're supportive. On the other hand, they're not so sure. So I don't really think it's that clear-cut. And in all honesty, I've seen a lot worse on the media. So I don't get why Fox gets a lot of the crap it does.
That was one thing that Fox did that confused me. On The Simpsons once, then there was a parody of Fox News. And Fox News sued Fox Entertainment. Yeah, they started a lawsuit, and then, like, the guy, I think it's Rupert Murdoch or something, the guy behind Fox.
Yeah, Rupert Murdoch, he's Australian.
Yeah, eventually, he, like, got a message that day, just, you know, from his secretary saying, yeah, apparently you're suing yourself. So he very quickly ordered the lawsuit to be dropped. That's still one of my favourite news stories.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I had a good... This is quite off-tangent, but I had a... There was a great news story today.
What?
Because I can thank Microsoft for this one. Because my little internet homepage is, I think, like, uk.msn.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I just open it up. And most of the time, the news stories are fairly dull. Like, oh, like one of them here.
That's the news for you.
That tried politics.
That's the news for you.
After 9 years.
That's politics. So that's the news for you.
I know, and then there was this one little news story that caught my eye, and it just says, man held for molesting horse. No, and the thing is, it's one of those things where it's one of those short little funny news stories. I actually read more of it, and this is the bit that's really ridiculous. A man, it says, it starts off, a South Carolina man has been arrested for having sex with a horse after the animal owner caught him on surveillance camera.
Encore.
No, this is the bit that I found really weird. Because, you know, admittedly, having sex with a horse is quite weird. But this is what it is. They said it wasn't the first time he'd been charged. Last year, he pleaded guilty to having sex with the same horse. So, yeah, it's... it's something about this one horse.
That's what happens when you sleep... When you sleep with an animal stays in your life forever. You actually create a physical attachment to the person you sleep with.
Animal.
It doesn't matter. So that's why I'm not sleeping with you.
Oh.
Okay, we're getting off topic.
This is the most off topic we've been.
I know. So.
The first 20 minutes was us in depth talking about.
All right. Yeah. So let's get back to business. We just need a little bit of humor. All right, so if you had to pick an event that solidified it, what would it be? Not a game, an event.
Oh. Probably, I can't really remember, because I haven't been into hardcore gaming. I've only been in it for about 2 years.
Yeah.
But, I think the event, which wouldn't have to do with games, would again probably be a Grand Theft Auto thing. It was when I think every person I knew, and this was including me, pretty much every person in Britain, the event was when the media sort of covered it in the way that every single person knew what it was. Just because, obviously, it didn't really...
And you shall know my name before I smite you in the name of the Holy Lord of Heaven.
No, but, it's just... So, it didn't really matter.
Hello?
It just... The fact that everyone knew it.
There was a little bit of a... There was a little bit of delay in your speak.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine. And technology is superior to everything out there, except for when it breaks.
Yeah. The cake is a lie.
Yeah. You know, I would say that the single event that would have solidified this as the official transition is the release of the Xbox, a console that was, according to the Sage from That Guy with the Glasses, it was a console made entirely for 26-year-old males. And I think the game that would have caught on would have been Halo Combat Evolved, because that was when first-person shooters became an official cash cow. So, would you say that this was a progressive or a rapid type of transformation?
It was rapid at a point. I think when we got to... Not sure which generation. I think it was technically the sixth generation, which has the GameCube, PS2, Xbox, and things.
And the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I think no one really talks about that. Yeah, because you could have had like probably an N64 version of Grand Theft Auto, except it wouldn't have been controversial as much, just because graphics wouldn't have allowed.
What about Body Harvest? Body Harvest is a game made by the same company that...
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I think a game trailer's top 10. But at the same time, that didn't really get a big mainstream fuss about it. I think it had to be the sixth generation, just because when that happened, then graphics had the capability to be real. And obviously, if graphics had the capability to be real, they started simulating... like real life events, which in Grand Theft Auto's case was shooting people and running over prostitutes.
or in Halo was fighting off the what are the aliens called?
The Horde.
No, that
the Horde.
The Covenant.
I don't.
The Covenant. I'm sorry, I'm not a big Halo fan.
I'm not either. I just called them the Horde.
Yeah. So, I mean, personally, I say that it was more of a progressive thing, because you see, even within the first few years of the sixth generation, even to like the mid late, you see that there were some games that coincided. Like, we in the same year, we had Super Mario Sunshine, and we had a mature game for the Xbox. In 2001, we had Halo Combat Evolved and Grand Theft Auto, but at the same time, we had Super Smash Bros. Melee. In 2003, we had one of the Splinter Cell games. I think that's when it first came out. Or no, sorry. In 2003, we had Call of Duty, the original Call of Duty, but we also had Wind Waker. So I think it was, in a way, they kind of worked side by side, and as it's similar to like a play where you have one person in the middle of performing an act, and then behind them there's the scenery being changed. So I think it's as the mature our audience started to come in, you would still see the e-games there slowly weaning out. And I think also as like a transition phase is what Killer Roy told me earlier. We had the T-rated game. And that rating, we had Ratchet and Clank, and we had Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy.
Oh, yeah.
So then I guess the next question is, do we see any resistance yet again?
There was sort of resistance, just because with every mature, like, no matter how easier it became to make mature games, not obviously, it's still easy to make more ones that are available for everyone.
So, I mean, look, we meant... Things... Yeah, continue.
No, there was one thing, this was something I noticed when I played today, because I've been mentioning this as a FPS game that I actually like.
13?
13.
13 yeah, looks awesome.
XIII.
I'm a big.
It is pretty good.
I'm a big cel shaded fan. Just continue.
Yeah, the graphics are pretty great, and I was playing through it today, and some of the language is a bit harsh because I've gone to the little options, and there's something called parental control, and I hadn't really bothered to put it on just because. I'm 17, so.
You'll be 18 in September.
Yeah. How do you know that? But, yeah, so I was playing it, and, like, I'd sort of forgotten that the language could actually get that bad, because at one point you're like, I was slowly making my way through a snowy field, and some guy just goes, man, I'm laughing, and you go back, and the guy yells, shut the hell up and give me your compass.
Oh.
And, yeah, it was kind of awkward because actually my father was in the room, so had to do a quick backtrack. It was like, oh, why did we didn't say that?
I think. All right, so continue. You were saying.
All right, so the guy said shut the hell up. And there were other little moments in the game, like I think I've heard them say the word. It's tough because I don't know the average age of somebody listening to this, so Okay, it's a word, and it begins with B, and it rhymes with plastered.
Oh, by the way, just a note for everybody here who's listening. The recording issues with Skype were causing some problems, so if there's a noticeable awkward moment, don't get mad. Don't get mad at me. Don't blackmail me. Don't email Alma with hate mail. Yeah, so, I mean, as I was going to say, with regard to a game that I'm particularly enjoying, that I enjoyed, GoldenEye Rogue Agent, the game is rated T, but one of the reviews that I saw, like one of the only good reviews that I saw, mentioned that even though it's rated teen, the content is really no different than an M-rated game other than no blood. And if you think about it, the game is really less of a first-person shooter, more like a first-person shoot-em-up melee fighter. And it has, I mean, like, in all honesty, you could toss a guy in between two barrels, blow it up, and watch his corpse fly in any direction you choose. And also in Midas Casino, you can, when you use the eye, you get like hacks and use the eye on Xenia Onatopp, the game glitches up. So it's actually quite weird. And if this is stuff that should be in a mature game, it probably would be a mature game if it weren't for there not being any blood. Yeah. So I think you should check out the game. Assume you can find it. It's really hard to find.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, like, my point with 13 was that obviously there was this mad language, and it just sort of, it was slightly of a shock, just because I wondered, you know, what rating is this game? And it's a 12, and, you know, it was a 12, but it still had this guy saying, shut the F up. And obviously, you know, even though it did say parental controls, I don't know many people who would buy a game and
The Peggy made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know what Peggy is, right?
Yep.
It's the European version of the ESRB.
Ah.
Yeah. So.
But then again, they get made Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy of tea. And there's nothing tea worthy in Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy.
Could just be the overall theme. As opposed to the actual material.
Oh yeah, I guess, because you do play as a Sphinx, and occasionally a cursed mummy.
Weird. Alright, so I guess we can now go to the present. I'm thinking of my birthday. The present. What must we face?
What presents did you get for your birthday?
$50 for my Bobeans 80.
Yay!
What must we face now in terms of the audience that we have?
Well, you talked about like the last generation, what was the major event that changed it? The major event, definitely 100% this generation, would be the creation of the Wii. Just because obviously it's now there's the stereotypical old people who go, oh, Grand Theft Auto, I don't like that. And now these people are actually playing games.
Irony. It strikes without warning. Very poetic. Yeah.
And it's just, it is a very sort of, it's strange because, like, you still see, there are still very mature games on the Wii because there was No More Heroes, there's, like, a port of Manhunt 2.
Mad World, The Godfather, Black Hand Edition.
All those games. And yet, even though it does have all those games, then you still get people going, oh, well, that's a kiddie game. That's a kiddie console.
No, it's always funny hearing that from people, and then when they say, well, what else do you expect? I mean, in all honesty, I think that kiddie games are more, have longer lasting appeal than the adult games. If you look at it, like, a game like Mario is iconic and legendary because you could play a Mario game 3-4 years after it comes out for like the 10th time and it's still good. Whereas you could be playing Halo Combat Evolved for your third time and say, this isn't as great as it was the first time. So, in all honesty, I think that kids' games are really a lot more really stand the test better than adult games, which I think is kind of ironic because there are more adult games now than there are kids' games. So, now the other question that comes back, it was just in here and also on the similar topic is, do you think that E-rated games will completely vanish into obscurity forever? Or do you think they'll just not have as big a market share?
Well, they probably just won't have as big a market share. Obviously, seeing as Nintendo has now got the family-friendly image, then they will continue to make E-rated games. And, you know, you look at, there are a couple of games on the 360 and the PS3.
Viva Pinata, Little Big Planet.
Kitty, yeah. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, saying an E-rated game's going to die out, it's sort of like saying, do you think platformers are going to die out?
They're actually making a comeback recently.
First-person shooters. Oh, yeah, I like platforms.
Like, making a comeback recently. Yeah. I think, like, last year, yeah. the most popular downloaded title on any online service was a platformer. Don't quote me on that. I read it off of Wikipedia. I don't know. I just made that up. But
that's in somebody's signature.
Yeah. So the other thing that we have now, with regards to the resistance, just going back to the present thing. Do you think the resistance was a failure or a success?
I'm not really sure, because I'm not sure what the aims of the resistance were. Because are we talking about, like, old games resisting the urge to turn into, like, violent M-rated games?
Yeah, I guess we can say that.
Okay. Because in that case, I'm not sure whether the aim was to keep those games the same, or whether the resistance was to make franchises like God of War and Grand Theft Auto into childish things. But I'd say the resistance. I'd say the resistance works, because Super Mario Galaxy is one of those things that's still suitable for kids. The next Kirby game to come out, if one ever does come out...
It will, trust me.
Will be suitable for kids.
It will, trust me.
It's going to be suitable for kids.
Even though people don't really think that it will, Nintendo will definitely do it, because even though Kirby games sell better in Japan, they do still sell in North America. So, I don't know if it's going to happen right away. We could potentially not see one until the end of the Wii console cycle, but we will definitely see one in North America.
What?
Where we were. All right, so we were talking about the problems we have now with regard to the current market we have. What do you think the industry would have to do in order to keep a healthy balance between bringing in new kids to the industry while at the same time helping expand out to a more adult market?
I'd say that they're just doing that pretty well now, so I'd just say keep it up. Because we have, like, those series like Grand Theft Auto, God of War, Heavenly Sword. I'm not sure if Heavenly Sword is a series, but...
I don't think Sony wants to have... I don't think it's sold enough copies for Sony to consider it to be a series. Or no,
we have all those.
Wait, sorry. It sold enough copies, but Sony kind of killed it off before it was too late. I'm sorry, I got them mixed up. To people who are listening to this, I'm an idiot. I just said that because I didn't know what was going on in my mind. So, wait, continue?
Yeah, basically, I'll just say I think we have a pretty good balance right now.
All right.
We have a lot of games that are suitable for everyone, but we have a lot of games that are just, you know, entirely.
Yeah. So, with regard to the future, I think we already asked what lies in store for us down the road. Do you see any possibilities that the industry will be reverting back to the e-market?
I'd say, because, you know, they created Toon Link, so we're going to see some, like, E-rated Zelda games, I'd expect, but...
Not on consoles. I think that we're done with
E... Not on consoles.
I think we're done with E-rated Zelda games on the consoles. I think that Miyamoto is more comfortable with the teen because it gives him more flexibility. The only problem I have with that is that there's too much brown and gray in the visuals. Yeah.
Even, like, Link's tunic went from green to dark green.
Yeah. But, I think, you know, a lot of retro games have actually come out on Xbox Live Arcade, PSN, and WiiWare. We've had examples like Mega Man 9. I don't think anybody could have pictured that coming out in early 2008, but when it came out, everybody was shocked, and it actually sold well. We had a remake of Bionic Commando. We had a remake of 1943. We had a remake of Street Fighter. We had Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix. And we even saw a revival of the Street Fighter franchise with Street Fighter 4. So do you think it's possible that we could be having some retro gaming bringing back the e-market? Okay. Elmo says yes, everybody. You still there?
Yes.
All right. So, yes, Elmo says yes, everybody, here, but his computer is kind of lagging. It's one of the problems of having a Windows computer. He should just ditch it and get a Mac.
Well, is that it?
No, we're almost done.
Okay.
All right, so now is it possible for... Here's the big question that I think concludes everything. Is it possible for e-games and m-games to coexist, or will there be some heavy friction between them?
What do you really mean by coexist?
Like, is it for instance, can we have a Spirit Tracks and a Red Steel 2 in the same year? Can we have a Halo ODST and a new Super Mario Galaxy 2 in the same year? Is it possible for that to happen, or are we just going to see the Halos and the Gears shoving out the Marios and the Toon Links and whatnot? Elmo's computer is lagging. So, Elmo?
I heard that. If my computer can just work until the end of this, then...
All right.
Yeah, I think it's possible for them to coexist, because they've coexisted up to now. I don't think any particular genre is ever going to muscle another kind out. I just think, yeah, there's going to be... As long as they make games, there's going to be different audiences for them.
Like the blog.
It's going to be somebody who wants to play to Blob and World of Goo. Is it going to be somebody who wants to play God of War?
Yeah. All right, so I guess that's really all I can do with you. It was a pleasure working with you, Elmo.
All right,
until next time, which means until I decide to actually make another one of these, which may not happen until 365 days from now, this is Whitley saying listen, comment, and good night. And Elmo, would you like to say something?
Not really. No, you think about it, I think. Just thanks for listening, and bye.
Bye-bye. All right, have a good weekend, Elmo. I will send this to you.
Have a good birthday.
You too. I'll send this to you.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, Elmo, expect to see this soon. Peace. Yay.